Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Well, hey.
It's a strong start.
Here
we
are.
I felt like I needed to respond to what he was saying.
No, you did. No, that wasn't directed at you.
Yeah. It was for everybody. I just felt like I wanted to voice in.
Okay. Well, all right.
Is that all right?
That seems all right to me.
Cool.
I can live with that. Here's a guy on the show tonight. Hey, man. Jeff Arundale is back in here. We saw
him.
Here's the deal. He's been wandering the grounds outside the studio for the past 3 weeks. And
circling.
we kept offering him food and hot chocolate and stuff, and he kept shaking his head no. It was the weirdest thing. And then all of a sudden we said, hey, you want us to swing into the show? And his eyes lit up, and he ran in. And he's been living here ever since.
It was raining out there tonight.
Is it raining now?
It was.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
So we're excited to have Jeff back in the studio. It's been a while. Jeff, I was thinking about it. I mean, you're aging gracefully and everything, but it's been a few years.
Well, I haven't been in the new studio, so how long is the new studio?
Hey, I was asking Boo that.
I thought you'd been up here before.
Well, it's like a year ago September or something.
Yeah, I was up here for church, I think, and I came up just to look it over.
Never
performed.
Boo, you lied to me.
Hey, technically, he did say he's been up here.
Yeah, but you lied to me. That is what I'm focusing on at the moment.
I can tell.
Okay. Yeah, he hasn't been actually up here in the studio, but he's been here at the building. Yeah,
no, I stopped right there.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Thank you very much.
But I did not.
Arundale. Yeah.
I stand corrected.
See?
All right, repent. All right, here we go. Jeff's got a lot of cool stuff going on. He's got a new EP out, Merciful Ways. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. That's been a while coming.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And maybe hear a tune or two.
Yeah.
And then the Connection Music Festival, Jeff's going to be at. That's coming right up. I mean, that's this weekend.
Correct. Saturday.
Really?
Yep. Saturday, June 18th at Crossroads Church in Norwalk, 2601 Border Street. Make sure I get that in.
Oh, wait, it's not outside this year?
Oh, it is outside. It's on their beautiful 20-acre campus.
Okay. Hey, man, 20 acres. That's plenty of fun to be had on 20 acres.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I can run around for hours.
Have you ever done that?
Once or twice.
There's a lot of cool acts at the festival. We've been there. In fact, we were there, 2 years ago? The Rhett Walker Band was there.
Yes.
And anyway, the whole thing was a ton of fun. Yeah. And so we'll hear more about that. And just in general, see what's going on in Jeff's life. Now, Jeff, I do have a bit of a personal question.
Okay.
So Jeff was on the television this past week.
Hey.
Now, was that your first television appearance, or how often you been on the TV?
No, that was the debut. Why?
I'm just asking. How did it feel? Like, was it awkward to be on the television?
Yeah, it was very odd because you feel like you're walking a tightrope without a net. You don't know. Okay, look over here, but the people are talking to you over here. Don't look over there. And you know, am I loud enough? Can you hear me? Is my hair messed up? You know, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Wait, did anybody do? Did you do makeup? Did somebody try to?
No, no. I thought there was going to be makeup, but I don't know. I guess I had enough color.
Pleasant surprise. Yeah.
Budget cuts.
I didn't. Huh? Yeah, budget cuts.
So have you heard from people since then? Like who saw
it? Oh, yeah, lots of people. You mean that saw it?
Or, you know, heard about it, saw it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The phone started ringing. I had opportunity to, I think directly out of that, to be on another radio program and to talk about it talk about the festival and music and all that kind of stuff here last week as well. And Facebook has been blowing up, or at least blowing up for me, which is a good thing.
That's awesome.
More opportunities to play, and God is good. He's given us lots of opportunities to go places, and always looking for more places. We want to meet more people and want to encourage and all that sort of thing. Whether it's a church or festival or a concert or a backyard or a garage or, you know, I don't know, two or three people in your front living room, I suppose too.
Now I saw a picture from this other radio appearance rolling around on the Facebook, and Arundale had a suit on. Now, Boova.
Whoa.
Now, Arundale's been here, what, three times, four times, maybe five times.
Four or five times.
We've seen Arundale that. Now, you ever seen Arundale come in here in a suit?
No, I've seen.
Not even a tie.
I've seen nice, sleek black polos, but nothing more than that.
You know, okay, so here's the deal. And this is kind of funny. I had a meeting I had to be at. It was a coat and tie and you know, black shoes and all that sort of thing. We were talking on this deal, and they do it like you do, where you've got the live video feed as well. And
yeah.
It was a little bit of a break, and I noticed that there was a big monitor behind me, and I'm like, well, what are they watching on there, Fox News or whatever? So I turn around, and I'm like, oh, well, who's that old guy? Must be one of those Fox News. That's me! Oh, my gosh. But those guys are great over there.
Hey, man, this isn't the time to be confused for a Fox News contributor.
You know, it's not. That's a very valid point.
Anyway, exciting. Lots of cool stuff. It's fun being on the other side of it and seeing you out and about, hitting the TV and some legit radio airwaves, suit or no. Lots of cool stuff going on in Just Sports. So let's talk about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Merciful Ways, because you had, I think the last time that we talked to you on air is when your previous EP was released.
Right.
But you were still working on some of that stuff. Merciful Ways was, I think, on its way there.
Right.
And so this has just come out recently. Tell me a little bit about this. Does this differ at all, do you think, from a sound perspective?
Definitely. This actually started about 2 years ago, and it took about probably 4 trips to Nashville and went back. We did this one different, too. The first time with the first LP, it was a weekend. You know, Saturday tracked all the songs musically, and then Sunday did all the vocals. This time we spread it out, both from a cost standpoint and also just from a, just to give it a little bit more space. And we were planning on putting out a full LP, but decided that it would be different and interesting and really not unusual to put out maybe 2 EPs out of it. So there's 11 songs total. This particular EP, though, has 5 songs on it. And there's songs that on here that we've performed in the past. And, yeah, some of these songs are 2 or 3 or even 4 years old, but they're fresh and, you know, had some of the same players, great studio, production was fantastic, and mastering and all that stuff. So it was, and you know, I think I talked last time. I was fortunate enough to have Midscale's drummer, and I think there were some people from the Grand Ole Opry that were regular performers on that. This time I had, we had Alabama's drummer in a session. We had Reba McEntire's drummer in a session. We had her keyboard player Caroline in a session. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's so fun. They're just good people and fun to be around, and it's like being in fantasy baseball camp or something. Those guys are amazing.
That'd be pretty cool.
And you're the guy that they fly in, right? Like, those guys are hanging out, and you're like, hey, hold tight until Jeff gets
here. That's right.
I'm the expert.
The talent is coming from on high.
I hear he's from Iowa.
I saw him on the radio. He had a suit on.
He's pretty big.
Let's hear one. Let's do one from the new EP. What do you want to do for us?
This one is a brand new one. It's probably about a year or so old. It's called God, You Are Father, and really it was written around, you know, where it talks in the Old Testament about where to tell our children and those that come behind us about God and how good He is and His miracles and what He did in the wilderness, or our wilderness, and how He got us through and how we depend on Him. And it always reminds me of my grandmother, because she was my my mentor. So this one's for Grandma Odell. It's called God, Your Father. God, You're a Father, we sing of Your great name. God, the Creator and Maker of everything. God, our strong tower, we sing of Your mighty power. Mysterious wonders, all of the miracles You bring, and we cry, You are the one. Turn our eyes to You on the throne. God, you're a father. God, as we celebrate your goodness and kindness, lending your works as you dwell among us, we share all you've done with the one who follows behind us. God, you're gracious, God, you're righteous, and we cry, you are the one up on high, you on the throne up on high. God, you're a father. You're a father.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hey, man, and yeah.
I dug on that, man. That was awesome.
Well, thank you.
I love that because it's got two moods I can feel. Because I can totally feel myself sitting in a quiet room just listening to that and doing just kind of reflecting on those words. But those words are also powerful enough that I can see myself just screaming down the interstate, cranking that as loud as it can go, and just yelling those words as loud as I can at the same time. And I love when I'm able to take a song and be able to do both those things with it. So right. I love that.
Yeah, one of my favorite passages is from Ephesians, where it says, God is capable of doing immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine through the church for his glory. I don't know, you probably can recite it perfectly, but he does, I believe, and he's done it for me, and he's done it for you guys too. He gives you the desires of your heart as long as... he gives you the desires of your heart if you're in his will, if it's in his will, if it's what he wants for you. So, and he's been ever faithful to me. So,
yeah. Very cool. Now, you can pick that up if you go to jefffarendale.com. You can find more information about what Jeff's up to. There's links to buy it on the website, Jeff?
Yeah, that's not up on the website yet, but I've already got it up on iTunes. Please come to Connection Music Fest on Saturday. We would love to see you and meet you. There's an opportunity to buy it there and any other place that we're playing as well. You can pick up a copy of the CD. Also, this time, too, this is kind of cool. A lot of people download their music. I've got some download cards that are available. So I don't know, do you guys do download music, stuff like that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, we'll make sure I get you one of these. Perfect. So you guys can have a copy of that as well. Yeah. You know, one of the things cool, and I just wanted to mention this in the CD, growing up, you know, listening to albums, they were albums back in the day, 33 and a third and all. But, you know, to me, an album was more than just the music. Certainly the music was the biggest part of it, but you could also... Almost all the artists, they would have, you know, you'd open it up or there'd be a sleeve or something that had the lyrics and who wrote it and where it was recorded and who played on it and all that kind of stuff. Well, this was the first time I attempted it, and we got the lyrics on the inside of the fold there too. Yeah, so when people buy the actual CD too, they can sing along and know the words. I always liked to do that when I was younger, and even now that I'm older, I do that as well. So
that is one thing you miss with digital music, and I do most of my stuff digital, to be honest with you. But like, it is one thing. It's another avenue of which the artist can kind of communicate things about what they're doing, can influence how you kind of take things in. And even provide some kind of context or other information about them. And I suppose you can do it on websites and stuff, but like there is still something about kind of holding that physically that I do miss. And I remember we put, as a matter of fact, Aaron Dale's the prime artist on this. When we loaded the Christmas from the Path album out there, I thought maybe you would have the ability to like provide a text album or something where like you could download the file as part of the thing, but no, you get like a picture and that's it. And you can't provide any additional things about it. And I was kind of bummed out because I thought maybe that would be an avenue of what you're able to do, but it's for digital music distribution, it's just not something that you're able to do.
Yeah. It's a great way for people to hear, like you said, a little bit about what you're about, and certainly the people that contributed, and the studio musicians. I want to make sure I mention that the studio musicians are all in there, but also the band that I play with around here, great guys and girl. Neil Redding, you remember Ben Hennessy, he's performed here before. Lizzie Velez is on keys. Matt Wetzel's been here before, bass player extraordinaire. Yep. You sat in for him one time at a gig that we had, and he couldn't make it. I think he was just roofing his house or something. I don't know, but I'm sure it was important.
The life of a basement.
Yeah. And then Jason Badger, he's on the Shaky Things and the percussion type things and backing vocals. And who am I missing? Oh, and our second lead player, Joe Kleinfelter, who joined us probably late last fall. He's in Honduras on a missions trip, so he won't even be there on Saturday. Don't let that not make you come, everybody, because that'll give Ben plenty of opportunity to wail with us on Saturday. So yeah, right, we're going to wail, too. So
that's exciting. So like, let's talk a little bit about the Connection Music Festival. So year three, right?
Correct. This is the third annual. It is actually in partnership with the Life Flight Music Festival up out of Sioux Falls. And also with Fellowship Community Church. Crossroads Church has put it on for 3 years on their campus. I don't know if you know much about Lifelight Music Festival. It's been going on for many years now. And actually, the pastor at Crossroads Church was one of the founders of Lifelight. And today, the two-day festival attracts over 300,000 people, generates something like reportedly $10 million to the local economy. And the most important thing is that it is helping to change people's lives and turn people's lives around, not by the power of man or the word of man, but certainly by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So it's a great way for somebody to be introduced to Christianity and to Jesus. Because I know when I was wandering and was pointed back, one of the things I always struggled with was music. Christian music was, and no offense to anybody, but it was hymns and that sort of thing. And I love hymns, but I just couldn't relate to it because I was into wailing guitars and the backbeat and all that kind of stuff. So with the way Christian music has transpired or changed over the last 30 years or so, it's more mainstream and something that a lot of people can relate to, myself included.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Aaron Dale, that's interesting because what we were talking about, you said you've been here 4 or 5 times. I don't know that I've ever asked a little bit about your story.
So, briefly, my testimony is... You mean like with Jesus and stuff?
Yeah.
All right. My story is I grew up in a small town, Moberly, Missouri. Was in the church every Sunday night, Wednesday, vacation Bible school. Really more so by my grandparents than my parents. And by that, was able to hear the truth, the gospel. And I remember it was Easter 1971. A lot of you guys, nobody in here was born. You were born.
I was born.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, I was a strapping young man.
Yes. Probably, yeah. Anyway, whatever. So, we were going through a series about Revelation, and they were talking about the rapture. And I was like, I did not want to be left behind. And so every Sunday there was.
That was big back then.
That was big, yeah.
Yeah.
The it's big now too.
But yeah.
It's always been kind of big, but I just remember being just understanding and having things come to light for me, and God showing me and helping me to understand what it meant, and accepting Christ on Easter Sunday 1971. And then was in that church till about 1977. We moved away, so I didn't have my rock, my anchor. And it was very easy to be drawn away. And I allowed myself to do that, to be lied by or lied to by the devil. And but, you know, through all that, I it was like he kept tugging at me. I can remember, you know, waking up in my dorm room, and it was a Saturday morning, and everybody was gone. I'm like, oh no, the rapture happened, and I'm not saved. But I knew that wasn't true.
It was a real bummer.
Yeah, it was a real bummer. Everybody just had gone home for the weekend, or they were over at the cafeteria.
They had their clothes laying out on their bed.
Yeah, right. Folded it nicely. Yeah. But God just put, he just did an amazing work in my life. He put people in my life that graciously showed me the way, and God was very, very tender, and knew, you know, I had rebelled, and so he was very patient with me. And you know, I look back on it now, and I know people were praying, and people were praying that God would put people in my life, and that he would reveal himself to me, and he did. And so I rededicated my life, went to the Promise Keepers in 95 up in Minneapolis, and boy, talk about an experience that was. I mean, 55,000 guys singing Holy, Holy, Holy with loud guitars and drums and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It was very moving and touching and very spiritual. You could just feel the presence of God there, and I went down that night and rededicated my life, and here I am. So that's my story.
Here lies Jeff Arundel. All right. Well, thank you. I just thought you kind of casually mentioned it. I realized I didn't know that. I just we just knew you as Jeff Arundel, all around Jesus music band.
Yeah, it hasn't always been that.
Now wait a minute. So you mentioned backbeat and loud guitars. Now were you a guitar wailing fella?
You know, I've always been more of a rhythm guy, but I just have always, you know, admired people that could do those cool things. Whether it's Neil Sean or Eddie Van Halen or even somebody like James Taylor. That's probably more my style. But just the things that they could do with guitars and, you know, chord progressions and picking and grinning and all that kind of stuff. So, now,
did you ever have really long hair?
Oh, heavens. Down to here, you know, down to my shoulders. Wish I still had it, actually. But those days are long gone.
I mean, would your wife have evidence?
Oh, you want to see a photo?
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'll send you a photo.
Okay, see what you're going to do.
All right, yeah, she probably, I mean, if you're talking right now, I don't know if she's watching or listening or not, but she probably couldn't find something that quickly. But,
okay, all right, but yeah. Just if you're going through albums, just remember me.
All right, I will. I always do, so when I'm doing that.
I know that was for everyone else's benefit. Yeah.
All this hair reminds me of Ben Foose.
Oh, that's creepy.
Said nobody. Hey, so who else is going to be at this Connection Music Festival?
All right. Well, here's the lineup. And I knew you were going to ask that, and all of a sudden my mind would go blank. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Sanctus Rio, I had heard they had broken up or they had lost their lead singer, but they have a new lead singer, and they're going to be back. And they are going to – actually, Colton Dixon is the headliner this year from American Idol fame. He's a Christian guy. And so Colton Dixon, Sanctus Rio, Bread of Stone, We Are Leo. We Are Leo made an appearance down in Norwalk about a month or so ago. Let's see, what else? Jeff Arundel Band. There's a young up-and-coming singer-songwriter out of Wyoming. Her name is Skylar Kalin. She's going to be there. And then they added another band to another local band. And I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was. But and my apologies to whoever that is. I'm sure they're fantastic, and because they only get fantastic artists down there.
Yeah.
Were you there last year for Building 429?
No, I was not.
Oh, my goodness.
It was great.
It was fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. So the headliners are always fantastic. You know, another cool thing, too, if people have never been to one of these music festivals, there is accessibility to artists in mass that you can't get, like when you go to a concert, generally speaking, unless you have a backstage pass or a green room pass, or if you want to wait around a stage door or something like that. These guys and girls, they make themselves available. They want to meet you. They want to get to know you. They want to hear your story. And
it's pretty cool. They're just kind of walking around like normal people and everything. Yeah. And
We were done performing last year, and I walked off stage after getting everything put away. And what a blessing to have little old me have people come up wanting to talk to me. So it's a two way thing, because it's exciting for me and it's exciting for them to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'll second that. That's been pretty consistent across a lot of the Christian music festivals. Is they've been very accessible. Bands are oftentimes hanging out, and there's so many of them. I mean, you just have a full day's worth of tunes to sit there and enjoy. Now, are there kids activities and stuff this year?
Yes, absolutely. There's a family fun zone like there have been. They play some really kind of fun games, and I'm afraid I'd break a finger or trip and fall or something, so I just kind of watch. But they do that. When the sun goes down, invariably there's somebody that's there selling parents' favorite things, those glow things. There's that kind of thing, the kids things that the kids love. Also, certainly the artists all have their merchandise there, and that's a great way that you can help support their ministry. And really, that's what this is. This is ministry to God's people and to the lost as well. So. Be sure and support them through that. And there'll be food there as well, so for purchase.
Oh, man, yeah, there was some really, really sweet eats. Mm-hmm. I recall that from when we went there. That was straight up delicious. Now, someone wants to learn more information about the Connection Music Festival. Where might they go?
Well, the website is www.connectionmusicfestival.org. And then also on the Facebook page, Connection Music Festival. It's the one in Norwalk. There's links on my Facebook page as well. Let me encourage people to go there too. I almost have 300 people that like me.
Hey, whoa. Man! All right.
I don't know.
That's a sweet deal.
I know. I mean, like six people away. So if one of your listeners, you know, if they're number 300, I don't know. Maybe we can send them something or. Hand them something. They can come up to me at the festival, and we'll give them a prize.
And just say, "Hey, I was 300." That's all it's going
to
take.
But I'm, the first one that comes up is number 300.
Okay.
There's no official rules or anything.
Man, 300. I would kill for that level of validation.
Oh yeah. I just checked. I'm already liking you. I was going to be number 300, just in case.
All right. Good.
I'm already part of it. Never mind.
The highest I ever got was 9, and that was because I have a punch card at a coffee shop. And I keep that, and I thought, I've interacted positively with someone 9 times. But then I always lose it before I get the free coffee, and it's a real bummer. All right. Hey, Arendelle, you got any punch cards? Is there a place that you frequent a whole bunch that you got a punch card for?
Yep. Palmer's Deli.
Hey, that's good eats.
That is good eats.
Good eats. Absolutely. The Hy-Vee card. That's not really a punch card, but I get 20 cents off my gas.
Where you end up with like 9 cent gas like every once in a while?
Well, no, it's more like 20 cents off. So it's a buck or something like that when I fill up, but I don't know. Linda always accuses me of making choices more related to the pennies that I get off rather than...
You're buying like
that's
a
exactly
block.
What I do. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't need beef jerky, but it's 20 cents off, so I think I need beef jerky.
That's right. Or two boxes of Twinkies, and you get 2.5 cents or
hey,
something.
Hey, man, I already had dinner, but that Chinese entree for two is 15 cents off.
Exactly.
It looks like I'm going to spend the $7.99 so that I can get that extra 15 cents off later. Because that makes mathematical sense.
Yeah, I just wish my gas tank was bigger, because the savings would be even more, right?
Yeah.
Should pull up with some kind of portable gas tank or something. So.
I brought the tank.
Did you see what this discount card has done to you, Arendelle? It's turned you into a gas smuggler. This is not your personality.
I know. I better control that.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
And you've stumbled upon what has to be rightfully dubbed America's fastest growing internet game show, simply because we don't keep any other stats. It's not provable. Secular versus Solomon. Here's the makeup of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me whether it is a secular bit of wisdom or whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom or Solomon. What are you looking at me like that
for? Hey, man, you failed on the transition on that one.
No, I didn't. I nailed it.
No, that was terrible.
No, it felt good.
We were laughing and talking about one thing, and then out of nowhere, that music came on.
Yeah.
You didn't even give us a heads up.
No, what am I supposed to do?
It was awkward.
No. Now, here, Booba.
Your intro was terrible.
No, what am I supposed to do? Say, hey, let's do secular Solomon. Short pause of the silence and then roll it in?
Skip the short pause.
No, I nailed it.
No, terrible.
Yeah, no, I definitely nailed it.
It was awkward for all of us. We were all looking at each other like, what do we do now?
No.
What do I do with my hands?
There's like a 30-second audio intro. You don't have time to figure out how to handle your own affairs?
No clue.
During the 30 seconds?
No clue.
What do I do?
Ben, you know my life well enough to know that the answer to that is no, that is not enough time for me to figure out my affairs.
The social skills of a water buffalo.
That's me.
Here we go. All right, so I'm going to give you a bit of wisdom, and you're going to tell me secular Solomon. If it is a secular bit of wisdom, I want to know the country of origin. That is country of origin. Hello, country of origin. So no states, no people.
Define country.
Wait a minute.
No.
Yeah. Does it have to be a country that's still around?
No. No, it could be a country
that's still around. Ancient proverb, you know.
Yeah,
so it could
be
like a kingdom at some point.
It's unlikely, but I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Harris, are you in on this thing?
Yeah,
I'm in.
Okay, all right, Nixon. Here we go. All right, we're going to start with Dan Hudson, secular or Solomon. A spoon does not know the taste of soup, nor a learned fool the taste of wisdom. A spoon does not know the taste of soup, nor a learned fool the taste of wisdom. Excuse me, secular or Solomon.
I'm going to say that's secular, and that's got to be a Yugoslavia.
Hey, man, that's kind of weird. That's exactly what I was thinking.
This is going to go swimmingly.
Yep.
Arendelle, secular or Solomon?
Secular. I got to go with China. Like it sounds like a proverb. An ancient Chinese proverb.
It seems soup's like old. Soup's an old food.
Yeah.
That's where that's coming from. All right. Booba.
Here's the deal. So you threw fool and wisdom in there, but I think it was just to throw us off. So I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to say Ireland.
Booba's in with Irish Solomon. Nick Harris, secular or Solomon?
Secular, and I'll go with
anything from the European bloc will work.
Epcot Center.
I'd say
get some all. There's no punishment for a wrong answer, Harris. You can come up with a country.
Italy.
Okay, it says secularity. A spoon does not know the taste of soup, nor a learned fool the taste of wisdom. It is secular.
Yes.
Wales.
Really?
Wales.
I was close.
By proximity, Nick Harris gets the most amount of non-points for choosing Italy.
By proximity?
I didn't know they had wisdom in Wales. This is good.
No.
They're on the same island.
No, I'm sorry. By proximity, it goes to Nick Harris.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, Ireland is like is the going over of The Price is Right. You've gone over.
What? That is ridiculous.
Here we go.
I think these points don't matter.
Secular or Solomon, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Secular or Solomon, Jeff Farrandale.
Secular, America, Ben Franklin.
I got very specific.
But I think for a slothful.
Date range on that one, Aaron.
Yeah, 1791.
1762.
It was a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
secular Solomon, Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 12.
Proverbs 12, Nick Harris.
Solomon.
You don't have to guess the Proverbs.
I just do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
you should get Brownus.
I'm usually wrong.
Brownie points, bonus points.
Yeah, bonus points. Dan Hudson.
You know, I think I'm going Solomon as well.
All right, Dan's in for Solomon. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 12. Congratulations.
Yeah!
This
was a...
Hey-o. If I had a bell, I would ring it in your honor.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
You should not have a bell for that.
Arendelle, on the other hand, has confused biblical wisdom with Benjamin Franklin.
Who was, in fact, not a president, which half of my generation thinks he was.
Who was sitting on the John in 1791, thinking of things to say. All right, secular or Solomon, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Secular or Solomon, Nick Harris?
Secular.
And country of origin?
You got me with that one. I'm trying to
You're in with Uganda.
Afghanistan.
I'm giving you Uganda.
Afghanistan.
All right. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to say that this is secular as well, and there's a little village outside of Cancun that it originated from.
Say what, Danejo.
I don't know.
A Cancunian village. Which certainly doesn't qualify as a country.
Sure does.
Congratulations.
It's not a country.
I'm narrowing it down.
Jeff Arendelle, redeem yourself. Secular Solomon.
I'm going to go with Solomon. I'm tossing a coin. Okay. That way I don't have to guess at the country.
We're running out of countries, boys.
Yes. We got all three of them.
Arendelle goes links to not have to be put to the mat on geography. Booba.
Solomon, I'm going to go Proverbs 17.
Proverbs 17. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. It is indeed Solomon. Proverbs 14.
Ah.
Proverbs 14. Nice. Wait, did you just do a victory hand pump, Arendelle?
Go Solomon.
Just, for the sake of not having a country in mind,
yeah.
Win.
He got me off the hook.
I took a wild guess, and I nailed it. All right, secular or Solomon. May the curse of Mary Malone and her 9 blind, illegitimate children chase you so far over the hills of damnation that the Lord himself can't find you with a telescope.
Oh.
Secular. Well, I'm sorry, do you need it again?
Yes, please. Okay, I need to hear that again.
I'm sorry.
Just to make certain that I got it right.
Pardon. May the curse of Mary Malone and her 9 blind, illegitimate children chase you so far over the hills of damnation that the Lord himself can't find you with a telescope. Secular or Solomon. Dan Hudson.
That is a obviously an Italian. is it Maloney?
No, it's Mary Malone. I'm sticking with it.
I'm going with Maloney. And
just by adding the E, you immediately think that it's
Italian.
Italian, huh?
It's Italian. Right. And I'm going to go, that would be a secular then.
Things that end with E are normally Italian.
Jeff Arendelle.
Secular, I'm going to say Ireland.
He's in with secular Ireland. Booba.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go Wales.
right. Nick Harris.
Secular, and I'll go.
Canada. I'll help you out with the country.
Okay.
Nick Harris is in with secular Canada. Here we go. May the curse of Mary Malone or debated Maloney and her 9 blind, illegitimate children chase you so far over the hills of damnation that the Lord himself can't find you with the telescope. It is secular Ireland.
Mm. Oh, nailed it.
Legitimate hand pump by Jeff Arendelle.
That was an understandable hand pump.
And Wales, you've gone over again, Booba.
Hey, man. I was in the same vicinity again.
I've docked you 2 pots of gold.
Here
we go. Secular or Solomon. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Secular or Solomon. Booba.
I'm going to go Solomon, and I'm going to say Proverbs 5.
Solomon on Proverbs 5. Nick Harris.
I'll go Solomon. I agree with Booba.
All right. He's hitched his wagon to Booba.
Yeah.
A classic mistake, Nick Harris.
I was
going
to say, this seems to be the only place that it's a good idea sometimes.
No, that's not true. Dan Hudson.
I think that sounds a little mystic, and I'm going to go Egypt.
Mystic Egypt. Jeff Arendelle.
Yeah, can you read it one more time?
A bribe is like a magic stone, or stone, debated, in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers.
I'm going to say secular, and I'm going to go with Guatemala.
Guatemalan wisdom.
Guatemala.
Once again, a bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. It is Solomon, Proverbs 17.
Ah, okay. Here's the deal.
Here's why I said Solomon was a mystic.
No, Solomon seems mystic.
I thought you said bride, like a groom and a bride.
Oh.
And I thought, I don't even, this I was trying to make sense of this.
He said it twice, man.
I know, and I heard it. Hey,
I hear what I hear.
I'm the guy who used to buy the LP so I could read the words because I couldn't figure out what they were saying on the radio.
Hey, I have a question for you guys real quick. Yeah. Out of text, context, I'm sorry. What is an EP and an LP? What do those stand for?
LP is long play.
Yeah.
So lots of songs.
Yep, one I've heard before. But what's EP?
Extended play. So it's usually 4 songs or 5 songs, uh-huh, or 6 songs.
It's a perversion of the word extended, because you would think extended can compare to LP. However, I think it's what's SP? SP is short play, right?
I don't know. Probably
single play.
Steve play.
I made that up. I don't know if that's a legit item.
It's extended from the single, though.
Yeah. Someone asked me that.
Yeah.
Someone asked me that because they were trying to figure out if a millennial knew anything about anything. And they asked what an LP and an EP was, and I knew it was.
Yeah.
See, and I thought EP was a new thing, but the Beatles had 4-song EPs, and Ray Charles, everybody, you know, back in the day.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just had to ask.
I was shocked to find out that "On a Tuxedo" was really "Our Lips Are Sealed." Because I thought,
we're going to need some context to what you're saying, man.
Well, you know, the who was that? Cyndi Lauper? Who was "Our Lips Are Sealed"? Whatever that song is.
Okay, okay, there we go.
And I kind of, what does this have to do with a tuxedo? I never could figure it out until someone had an LP, so I read it and I'm like, oh! That was like tons of songs. I still don't know what the name of Billie Jean's son was supposed to be. Michael Jackson. And I bought that album and I still read it.
I still don't know.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Anyway.
My apologies. So I give her a song.
He says the kid.
LP.
It's the kid is not my son.
Is it the kid?
Yeah, the kid is not my
so
son.
I used to go back and kind of listen to it over and over. And I'm like, I don't know what he's saying there. Hey, that's awful being me sometimes, all right?
Yeah. That's true. Hey, sometimes Dan's got quandaries other people don't have.
I do.
Is this where this is going to go? Because I got a good one. My roommate.
This is turning into like a Rodney Dangerfield breakdown of how awful your life is.
This was good. My roommate in college, so funny. He said, "What are they singing? Life in the Vaseline? Life in the Fast Lane. Life in the Vaseline." I'm like, oh, no.
I've never listened to that song again.
Hey, that's a major error.
Yeah.
I suppose it would make you lose your mind, though.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
True.
Yeah, well,
all right.
Makes sense. All right. Secular versus. Did we do the curse of Mary Malone?
Yes.
All right. Secular or Solomon, the man with the boots does not mind where he places his foot. The man with the boots does not mind where he places his foot. Secular or Solomon, Nick Harris?
Secular.
And.
Saudi Arabia.
Hey, that was the kindest dismissal of your Saudi Arabia.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm thinking I'll consider it. No.
No, Norway. I can't be trusted. I have the answers.
I was going to say, it was like either you're blatantly helping him or you're telling him the wrong answer.
I want everybody to lose, so I wouldn't take my opinion. Hey, Harris, we're going to need a country.
I say Germany.
All right, secular Germany. Dan Hudson. The man with the boots does not mind where he places his foot.
Now you're saying boot with a T, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
What?
I'm making sure I'm clear on the verbiage.
I'm really glad.
Because it matters.
That would have been a really
it
interesting
changes
proverb.
Everything, all right?
Dan owns some interesting albums.
I'm gonna go secular, and it's obviously from Texas, which makes it America.
Okay.
America.
Is it bad to you know, just say Dale?
Bandwagon on Dan? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Most people don't do that.
However, I'm
a state. State, so. Yes.
Secular and southern Texas.
Here's the deal. In some minds, that's rightfully a country, so I'm going to accept.
That's true. Hey, I was in southern Texas a while ago. It is totally a different country.
Don't mess with southern Texas.
True.
All right, you're up, Bubba.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to go to the United States of America.
The man across the board, he's the only European. Nick Harris took the European.
Hey, man.
All right. The man,
US of A.
The man with the boots does not mind where he places his foot. Secular Ireland.
Hey, man, what are all these Irish proverbs?
Hey, it worked, didn't it? The paper
you were trying to make
right,
us stumble?
You were wrong. Secular or Solomon, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. One gives freely yet grows all the richer. Semicolon. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Secular or Solomon. Jeff Arendale.
Solomon.
Solomon. Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 13.
Proverbs 13. Nick Harris.
Solomon.
He's in with Solomon. Dan Hudson.
Semicolon, put it over the top. Solomon.
One gives freely that grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. That is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 11. 11. It's a 10-point deduction for your pride, Boobin.
I'm right with that.
You do not have it. You might as well just get me a shirt that says 10-point deduction for my pride.
I'd wear it.
Here we go. Secular Solomon. Who does not beat his own child will later beat his own breast. Who does not beat his own child will later beat his own breast. Secular or Solomon. I this seems like it's a risk. Dan Hudson.
I was going to say, both of you giggled while reading that.
This is an Iranian
It is an Iranian secular. Hey,
why is it that no matter what country Dan says, it comes out racist?
What are you talking about?
Like, I don't know. I feel like over the last couple years, every time anything happens where Dan's like, here's the deal.
Into this.
That's definitely a Colombian proverb. And I'm always like, Dan,
where else
Colombia?
Do they beat people regularly?
Now, hold on. In Dan's defense, the only way that you would identify that is because you were thinking racist things about those countries. And then when Dan says it, you're like, oh, yeah, I didn't say that because I thought it was perverse. I shouldn't bring
it up. I will openly admit that there have been times when I immediately think, oh, yeah, that's definitely like a Colombian proverb. But I don't know. Dan, maybe it's just your delivery. I don't know.
It's intentional.
Jeff Arendale.
It's to draw you astray.
You guys are distracting me. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say secular. I'm going to go with Ireland. Let's go for the hat trick.
They drink a lot over there. They beat the kids.
I mean, that seems to be a common theme here, right?
There's usually some logic to it somehow.
Arendale goes with Old Faithful. It's Ireland.
Old Faithful.
Bova, who does not beat his own child will later beat his own breast.
I say secular Colombia.
Secular.
Obviously.
It seemed fitting.
He who hides drugs under the slash shall know no want. Colombia! Nick Harris.
I go with secular too. And,
I didn't do it.
Hey man, we're never going to be able to not have him on this game show.
Nick Harris goes in with Iran. He's doubling down.
Could be Afghanistan.
Here we go. He who does not beat his own child will later beat his own breast. Secular Iran.
Oh, no! That is awesome.
I'm telling you, it's logic.
Factually accurate, Dan Hudson. Well done.
Well done.
All right, here we go. Let's do the final one. Secular versus Solomon. You become wise when you begin to run out of money. You become wise when you begin to run out of money. Secular or Solomon goes to the guest. Jeff Arendale.
I'm going to say secular, and I'm going to say France.
Secular France.
Secular China.
Secular China. Hey, you don't know anything. The Japanese or the Chinese manipulate the currency. You wouldn't know if they're out of money. You lose. Nick Harris.
I say Solomon, and I'll say...
Are you going to say Solomon and propose a country?
Good point. Solomon was
Israel.
Israel.
Wait, but are you,
Judea specifically.
Are you in with Solomon or are you secular? You become wise when you begin to run out of money.
Okay, I say secular and let's say Rome.
It's Rome. Secular Rome. Here's the deal. Nick Harris over there looked like he put putting some thought into it. You jokers are just spouting at the mouth, trying to think of some gas. Nick's like, you know what? I think it's Rome. I think that's what's happening.
I'm going to try something.
I'm going to throw this out there to see what sticks. Dana Hudson.
It is secular. It was a president of a Swiss bank that said that. So we'll go with that.
Your right. Country of origin is a president of a Swiss bank.
That's the sort
of but not
they're like their own countries.
You become. I can't take Dan. When you become wise, when you begin to run out of money, that could have been said, I feel like, rightfully by anybody in the room, but it is secular Ghana. Mm. It's a play on words. Your money is Ghana.
Ghana.
All right, that's it. You've made the mistake of listening to America's fastest growing internet game show. This is what the internet has done. It's allowed the world to produce this and given an audience, and that is something to lament.
Here's the deal. If any of us ever run for president, this will ruin any of us.
That's right. It's done.
It's over.
Hey, can you do a Swedish accent?
Probably not.
Just come up with one. Can you accuse Dan, as a Swedish president, of being offended by what he said?
Hey, man, didn't he say Swiss? So Switzerland?
Oh, sorry, yeah, Switzerland. That's what I meant. So can you...
Is there a difference between a Swedish and a Swiss accent? I'm trying to think of either of them.
I don't know.
But they sound more
German. I'm not going to know the difference, but I want you to use your best Swiss accent and accuse Dan of saying offensive things
to
your country.
Hey, man, everything that's popping up in my head right now is like a really angry Bavarian German dude.
That'll work. Go ahead.
And what am I accusing him of?
You're upset that he talked about the president of a bank.
All right. This is ridiculous! There you go.
You need to work on it.
Yeah, no, you're agreed. I haven't spent a lot of nights thinking, well, someday someone's going to ask me to obviously give a Swiss accent.
Is Bavaria still a country?
No. I think it's a part of Germany.
I wouldn't know.
Do they still make the cream in that area?
I believe it's left the Bavarian area and kind of moved throughout the world. But I'm certain that someone makes it there probably.
It's perverse to buy Italian Bavarian cream from an Italian. Secular or Solomon.
I'm going to say secular. Yeah. And I'm going to go live from the past.
Bondurant.
Hey, man, there was a Bondu Fest going on tonight.
Bondu Fest?
Well, I think they call it Summer Fest.
Do they have fondue at the Bondu Fest?
They don't.
Shame.
But I here's the thing. What's weird, so it's a small town that they live in, right? A relatively small town. But, like, I must have seen... I don't meet anybody in my town. In fact, I don't spend a lot of time there. I spend a lot of time in other towns. But I don't know what the deal is, but I must have saw 45 people that I knew that I don't think are legitimately from there that seemed to have bust in for Bondu Fest.
Hey, that sounds like a party. I'd go. I've never been from Bondurant, but I would go.
Yeah,
is that like a one-day thing or an all-week long?
I think they do it for 3 days. They do a parade.
Is there another day happening where I can go?
Hey, yeah, I think it goes for another 2 days. Wait, ready? Ben's tips on the parade. The ball teams give the best candy, or the most candy.
The what?
The baseball teams.
Huh.
The baseball and the soccer clubs. Because they give them to the kids. And kids are suckers, right? They chuck out candy like it's mad fire. And so, I mean, they're going to hurl it at your face because they're ball players and they think that stuff's funny. But, like, you want the most candy, you need to catch the softball on the soccer clubs at the start of the parade when the kids are just chucking it out. And they're going to run out halfway through. But, like, we missed the first 10 minutes of the parade, and we walked out away with very, very low candy counts because all the ball players were at the front.
Hey, man, my ears just pulled at the Dan, and I thought you said the bald-themed floats.
What?
Not the ball team.
Like
I heard the bald theme.
Like a bunch of like, balls? Legit.
What is a bald theme? Like, legit. Is it just a bunch of dudes that are bald and they're just like, hey, we're excited, and they're throwing candy? Like, they just lost their hair and they're throwing lozenges at you or something like that? Because that's totally what brain went to.
Why are they throwing lozenges?
I don't know, like the hard candy and gross stuff at the bottom of that basket your grandma has. Like, I feel like that's what the bald theme would throw.
I would see like a Werther's Original, but I don't know why they're doing like colds, like cough suppressants.
Have you...
Like, wait, just because
does your grandmother by chance have a basket out on her dining table that has not been cleared out in 15 years?
Hold on, it's Ricola, man.
Oh, yes. Ricola.
What about that album yet?
Ricotta. Dan's thinking of
lasagna. I make stuff up.
I like the gusto Dan went with it. He didn't just say the word. We might as well sing it. I'm in with, what was it?
Ricolo. Ricolo.
Ricolo.
Ricolo.
My kids scream me all the time.
What is it like? It's like dyslexia or something.
I don't know what it is. I don't pay attention. Yeah.
All right, singular versus Solomon. All right, let's see. Let's do Aaron Neal. Let's hook up with another tune from the EP.
Right,
what do you got?
Save us,
yeah.
Please
redeem it.
What do you want? Something that's on that CD?
Well, I mean, you don't really want to give all of it away for free. How much are you charging for this beast?
$10. $10.
Well, heck, man, you're gonna give away two tunes. It ain't gonna be worth $10 anymore. It's gonna be like $7.50.
So, yeah.
You can make it an LP.
Yeah, play whatever you want.
Yeah, all right.
Free Bird.
This one's from the first CD. It's it was called Not Here For Me, and the song is called You Are My God, and it was written, you know, it's kind of a psalm. It was with David in mind when David was having to deal with some things, some trials, and it was just a matter of, you know, trusting God and asking for, you know, he's your rock, And you can hide beneath his wings, and he strengthens you, and all that that stuff. Jazz, you probably use that a lot. Jazz.
A lot.
That God jazz stuff. Yeah. So, all right, this is called "You Are My God." You are my God. You are my Savior. You are the Holy One. Find me in your favor. You are my healer. You restored me. You made me whole again. God, you rescued me.
rescue me, and I'll build my life on you, and I'll go where you want me to. You are my king, you restored me, you made me whole again, God, you rescued me. You sent your son to die for me, and I gave to you my heart for all eternity. And I'll build my life on you, and I'll go where you want me to.
All right, man. That was on the first album, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And also potentially available on the website.
That one is available on the website.
All right.
And iTunes and CD Baby and Net Performances and such as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. And if you come out and see me and you want to buy something, we got a special running on Saturday, 2 for $15. So that's one way to get some value.
Hey man, yeah. Sweet.
Do you get any cents off on gas at the fuel saver? Because that's normally what makes me make a purchase.
I got a punch card though.
Oh, so. Yes. You get one free Palmer's Daily punch card with variable punches.
So for more information about Jeff, go out to jeffarendale.com so you can pick up some of the older CDs, the older albums, or you can go on iTunes if you want to pick up Amazon too, CD Baby, you said across the board on those things?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So where legit music is sold, you can find Jeff Arendale and pick up his Merciful Ways EP. Also, definitely check out the Connection Music Festival. It's absolutely free to get it in. What time are you playing?
We go on at 3:30, so... that's when we're playing.
Okay. Yeah. Jeff's on at 3:30, and lots of other sweet bands in there.
Yeah, let me talk about them real quick. Colton Dixon is the headliner. We've got Sanctus Rio's going to be there, Beretta Stone, We Are Leo, the Jeff Arendale Band, of course, Skylar Kalin, and then some unknown local band that
Matthew Reed Band or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I think that's right. Have you heard of him before?
No, I was looking it up a little bit
earlier. Okay, good. Well, yeah, I think they might have just put it out on the website. So, third annual, come one, come all, bring your family, bring your lawn chairs. It's supposed to be beautiful weather, I think, sunny and 170. No, I think it's going to be in the mid-80s, I think, is what I saw.
Sweet.
So, So it'll be about perfect.
Sweet. Yeah. Hey, and you can hook up with both of those, both Jeff as Music Ministry and the Connection Music Festival on Facebook. Both are pretty good places to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Jeff does a pretty good job keeping his page up to date, so you know where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to be outside of the Connection Music Festival? You got anything coming up people can attend?
We're going to take first of all, 4th of July, and there's other stuff in there as well, but 4th of July, we're going to be up on a parade float. We were talking about that. We have a wonderful parade down in Norwalk. And going to be playing in the park a little bit after that. There's a event going on in the park for kids' games and that sort of thing. And we're going to set up on a little stage there and play there for a little while. We're traveling down to Brookfield, Missouri to a church down there. So we're getting out of our local area a little bit and going to play down there on July 10th. There's some other things. We'll be at Pathway Church on the 24th, I think, of July. And, I know there's more in there, too. The Iowa State Fair is coming up. We'll be there on August 18th, 2:30 in the afternoon on the, can I say this on this, Bud Light stage. I think
All right.
I can say that.
Yeah.
So,
we don't like the light.
Yeah. So what's the Bud Light stage? Christian, everybody needs a little bit of Jesus, right? Everybody needs a lot of Jesus, but.
Oh, boy, yeah, lots of cool stuff coming up.
Yeah. But, I got to tell you, last year, too, we played on the same stage. We opened for Head East.
Oh, cool.
Of course, we played at 12:30, and then they played at 8 o'clock. But
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it still works. I like it.
The math. Yeah. You do the math.
Right.
Yeah, connect it's the just, dots.
It's how technically, you were before them. That works.
All right. But what do we got? We got people that need some advice here?
Oh, man. I tell you what. People need some serious talking to.
Okay.
Right.
What do you got?
Dear Life for the Path, I have been divorced for 8 years. My ex and I are on civil terms and text each other a few times a week regarding our kids, mutual friends, and general chit-chat. A few months ago, during a rough patch in my relationship with my girlfriend of 3 years, Lily, I expressed my frustration in one of these texts. It was nothing horrible or unkind, just venting a bit. A week or so later, Lily was spending the night, and I woke at 2 a.m. to find an empty bed. I discovered her in the living room with my phone, surfing through my texts. She was livid about the communication with my ex, particularly the one at which I commented about our relationship, and stormed out.
Uh-huh.
I have no password on my phone and nothing to hide from Lily, and I told her so. I admitted that my ex was not an appropriate person to discuss our relationship with, and I apologized. This has caused a permanent shift in our relationship on two levels. She is angry and suspicious regarding my communications with my ex, and I am having trust issues with her. I feel my privacy was invaded, and wonder what else Lily has searched to satisfy her curiosity. She has yet to apologize and feels justified in what she did. I contend that if she hadn't read the texts, especially in such an underhanded way, there would be no ill feelings. Am I wrong to feel this way, or am I blame shifting? Dazed in Illinois.
There's some tricky in there. What do you think, boys?
I'm kind of confused because they're not married, correct? Lily?
Correct.
Yeah, no. Lily is girlfriend of 3 years.
So I can't imagine possibly what she'd be in this bed at. In the first place.
It all started at the Bud Light stage, Dan.
He had too much Bud Light, and then she made some poor choices and did some things with him maybe she shouldn't have. That's the first issue. I don't know. There's multiple layers here. One, of course you're going to communicate with your ex-wife if you have children. Number two, of course it's inappropriate to talk about your relationship with your current relationship with your ex-relationship. Number three, who cares? I mean, with my wife, she can look at anything I got. I don't care. I don't have passwords on anything. It's like, look at it all. I don't care. It's all. I have no secrets. She's a little oversensitive. They need I'm not really saying anything.
Yeah, what's the fix, Dan?
Let me ask a couple questions and see if we can narrow it down.
Okay.
So based upon what Dan said, which is true for me, like I don't, my wife has full access to my stuff if she wants it. But is it, it seems like one thing to say, hey, I give my wife access to these things, but like, what if she actually checks it out? Like, I think it's a second layer of, do you actually trust her? Like, I think some guys are like, oh yeah, I'm making the gesture, but they're offended that she would even look.
Right.
And that seems to be one, that she's checking it out. Two, I think it's probably heightened by the fact that he got caught doing something he shouldn't have been doing as part of her checking it out. Because I mean, she's up at 2 in the morning and looking through his phone?
Right. Apparently he woke up and she was out of the bed at 2 a.m. and stormed out after reading his text message.
Yeah, so as a guy who would say that my wife can look at anything, I would actually much more appreciate it if she just said, hey, can I take a gander at your phone? I want to look at it. Than if I woke up at 2 in the morning and she was digging through it. Like, that would be a different circumstance for me.
That seems shiesty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care that she's looking at it. But I would want to know why she didn't just ask me or why she didn't just take it while I'm sitting there.
She was bringing a secretive cloud around what she was doing by the way that she did it. She could have very easily just gone up to the guy and said, hey, you know, Josh, I love you very much and I would like to look through your phone now.
At the same time, I mean, it's like this three-year-old relationship, it's just a relationship. It's just she's just a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, and actually, she's just kind of free sex for him. It's really all it is. So, you know, before you expect big things out of him, you better also get a commitment. You know, if you're married, then it's like a whole different ballgame. Then there's trust issues. Then there's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? They're not married. He owes her nothing. He's getting everything he wants out of her.
So you're saying from your perspective, because they're not married, she doesn't have a right to assume a certain level of faithfulness or protection of that relationship. What if they're dating?
I mean, they are, I mean,
3 years is a long time.
It is. I mean,
the guy is just—he's probably still not wanting to get it into a marriage because his first one failed, right? There was
a little gun shy.
He was divorced for 8 years now. He's been with Lily for 3 years. There was a 5-year period of you know, whatever was in between.
And she threatened they're going to get back together. She's more mad that he told her something about herself.
Right. Yeah.
She's
upset.
And that would be hurtful.
Upset based off of the fact there's communication, which is unjustified because they have kids.
Yeah, well, she's telling me this.
Right.
Right, I'm sorry.
And then
she's
upset also at the content of the communication being about their problem.
And that's understandable.
Yeah. That's understandable. Yeah. That part I agree with.
He shouldn't have. He crossed the line.
Yeah.
So we agree with the general, he crossed the line when speaking to an ex about a current relationship, talking about the problem in it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if there was some level of real advice here for, aside from the fact that you need to legitimize your operation, it would be like, you both...
Was that code for marry her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You both failed here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you both failed. And it sounds like he's admitted that. However, he may not be owning that. Like in the way that he describes it,
his question is should she apologize? Basically,
yeah, I think she should.
Yeah,
I think she went about it in the wrong way.
Yeah,
and so like she didn't give him a chance to handle it right. Like that's generally from a relationship standpoint where I think you run into risk, right? Like you have to give somebody a chance to do the right thing. And
right.
if you're constantly digging and to find them doing the wrong thing, to give him a chance to do the right thing would be to say, hey, man, I'm concerned. Can I look at your phone? Or, hey, if we love each other, what do you care? If you're not hiding from me, can I look at your phone? And that gives him a chance to at least deal with the circumstance. But to do it sneakily, like you've not given him a chance to handle things right, and that's not fair.
Yeah, there were trust issues in the first place, but she caused a second wave of trust issues when she just didn't go to him and communicate on it.
Yeah.
I had someone a few years ago come to me and was just absolutely shell-shocked and destroyed and distraught because her boyfriend on his phone had pictures of all kinds of different women with not a lot of clothes on and that they were together and the whole thing. And it was difficult for me to get beyond, he's not committed to you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean – he's playing a game with you. He's doing the same thing with you as he's doing with all these other people. Even though you're living in the same place, you better, what do you expect? You know, you're allowing him to do that because you haven't said either commit to me or get out. And it's a very hurtful and harmful and difficult situation, but he had the perfect thing going on.
Yeah.
And then he took full advantage of it. Yeah.
Let's see what Secular says.
Yep.
Dear Dazed, you're not wrong, and you are not the one trying to shift blame. Lily is. I don't know what your marriage was like, but it appears you have replaced your ex with a suspicious and controlling woman. Red flag. Wow, way to handle the root problem.
Here's the thing. Suspicious is an agnostic term. Maybe I'm suspicious of you because you're a suspicious character and are doing things of which I should rightfully be suspicious. So, I mean, here's the deal is if you were to say if not being suspicious is a virtue, every sleazebag in the line of the people that Dan is talking about would be able to continue going about their business because no one would ever say, hey, you're kind of up to some weird stuff. Perhaps I should wonder about it.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. Dear Life from the Path, my husband and I have a 22-year-old son who has moved back home due to his relocating. His girlfriend of 6 months has done some suspicious and devious things. Ooh, devious things. We have tried to overlook them, but the latest involves a car our son asked us to sell her because she was in a bind because of some stupid financial decisions she had made. We felt sorry for her, so we sold her the car for less than half of what we could have gotten on a trade-in since we were going to purchase a newer car. Now, 1 month later, she has taken the car and traded it in on a different one, no doubt gaining the extra equity. I'm angry to the point that I no longer want her in my house. Are we wrong to feel taken advantage of? I would add that we have always tried to help our only son as much as we can. The result has been that we have been taken advantage of or not treated the way we think a son should treat parents who are not exactly well off. Please don't reject this letter as your advice is really needed.
Oh, dang.
Steamed in the south.
So here's the thing is like I was prepared to give some level of response before she tacked on the stuff about her son because now that brings into suspicion her descriptions of everything else.
Yeah.
Right. Like, from a base nature, should we be hosed that she took it and then traded in? Yeah. I mean, that seems like a real rook there. I'd be interested in her response. Hey, Did you – you bought this at a sweet bargain from us. Did you just use that to trade it in and get a good deal on a car? And, like, just for the entertainment of it, what is her reaction to that? However, to then backload it with we're constantly taken advantage of and our son does not treat us like we should makes me very – I don't know. It just throws into a little bit of doubt how clearly or cleanly she's telling this story. And maybe that's not fair, but –
No, I would say the victim card, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I would say that's fair. It sounds like I think I had the same reaction. It sounds like they got kind of hosed when it came to this this girlfriend card deal. But then she immediately goes, "Well, then let me tell you three more things about how awful our son is."
Yeah.
And then
and they kind of enabled it all.
Was this? Yeah, exactly. Was this really you being taken advantage of this one time by the girlfriend, or is this just a series of you've been taken advantage of by your son your entire life and are now taking that anger and taking that on the girlfriend?
Wait, can you do you still have it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you read the part again about how the son got them to sell the car? Like how did she describe that?
Okay, so we felt sorry for her, so we sold her the car for less than half of what we could have gotten.
Okay, that's right. That's stuff up there. There's not even a manipulating set in there. Okay, you're an idiot.
Oh, well, fair enough. Okay.
I what are you blaming other people for? Like, if you felt sorry for them and you gave them the car for a low price, then what they do with it is kind of their business.
Well, so here's the son's statement. We have tried to overlook them, but the latest involves a car our son asked us to sell her because she was in a bind because of some stupid financial decisions she had made.
Okay, so if your son has burned you multiple times, then this also puts you in the dumb category.
And the fact that you knew they were stupid financial decisions she had made. Yeah. You already know that she's a shiesty financial fella. Yeah,
and the fact you invited both of them into your home to stay there.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
This fellow wasn't right there.
Yeah. If you're going to do something, if, especially when it comes to being giving money to people or loaning people money or gifts or circumstances or whatever, like, if there is risk associated with it, you need to do that with eyes wide open.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you're going to give money. Like, there's always a risk in trying to help people. Frankly, if you're living a generous lifestyle, you're just going to have people that take advantage of you, regardless of how well you tried to filter it out.
But
right?
You still love it.
But you should do it with eyes wide open, right?
So, like, if that's not on you. Yeah.
If you're going to give money to or this person, them. They say, look, that's not why I gave it to them. They used that in a way that was inappropriate. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'll be more careful next time. But like, you can't be trying to sack other people with it. It's the risk of giving people money.
Right. When you start realizing that the money you're giving away wasn't yours to begin with, so first off, it's Jesus' money. So it's not you being taken advantage of. It's Jesus that's being taken advantage of. And he's already prepared for that. He knows exactly that that's going to happen. He's not taken aback when someone he knows is going to use money a little shiesty. He's not surprised by that. He still has grace for them. He still loves them. And you need to love them that way, too.
Yeah, I mean, you should try to be prudent with the Lord's money, but what?
Right.
But I think the point is that, like, if you know this about this person and know this about your son, when you hand them the money over, say to your mind, I could very well lose this, or they will deal with this in a shiesty way, and I'm prepared for it.
Yeah, there's a good chance I'm not going to get a dime of this back.
Yeah, your surprise is uncalled for.
Generosity.
That's just dumb.
All right. Ready for second?
Yeah.
Dear esteemed, it appears your only son and his girlfriend may be birds of a feather. Both have taken advantage of your kindness and generosity in one way or another, and you have every right to be upset about it. While you can't do anything about the past, that doesn't mean you can't open your eyes and watch out for yourselves in the future. Your son is planning to move the girlfriend in with you. Put a stop to it now. If you don't, I predict you'll be taken advantage of as long as they're under your roof until they move out, which may not be for the foreseeable future.
Oh, they're going to freeload?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that seems about right. Hey, you've been listening live from the past. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Very, very excited again to have our good friend Jeff Arundale in the studio. Jeff, thanks for swinging out.
Yep, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You definitely want to go to jeffarundale.com and see what's happening in his world. Follow him on Facebook. You're going to look for Jeff Arundale Music Ministry. Also, the Connection Music Festival. Make sure you check that out. It's free. Bring the family. Lots of fun stuff going on. Lots of great music. Cool event that we certainly want to see grow and continue to make waves for Jesus in the Newark area and beyond. So do that, and make sure to pick up Jeff's CD, Merciful Ways. You can pick that up at the festival, also wherever legit digital goods are sold. You can get that there. And I think that's all we got for this week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. In the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.